Our passage of scripture this morning is the same passage as last week. John 17, verses 6 through 26. Same passage, but a different sermon. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words that you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given to me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, you as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. And these have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Last week, we considered who Jesus prayed for in this prayer, and this week we're considering what He prayed for them. And if you remember from last week, we are among, if we're true believers, we are among those he is praying here for. And multiple factors should impress us about what Jesus is praying here. One of them, he prays as the sinless Son of God who is perfect. And so we know his prayers are perfect. He's the perfect, obedient Son of the Father, always doing His will. And so His prayers for us are according to His will. And therefore, He's praying according to God's will for us. And so what we hear here in His prayers is God's will for us. This is what God would want us to pray. Not only that, but He's praying as our Savior. He's about to die for our sins. He's about to go to the cross. And we'll see His great love in that. And so His love is expressed in these prayers. And His desire for us we should know and take this is what is best for us, what he prays for us. And so knowing it is what is best, we should also desire it, shouldn't we, for ourselves, what he prays here. And so it's very important to hear what Jesus prays for, what he desires for each one of us. And so first, what does Jesus pray for? First, he prays for keeping through his Father's name. Verse 11, he says, "No, now I am no longer in the world," meaning he's about to leave this world, "but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are." So first he's praying that we would be kept through his Father's name, and his praying that his people would be kept through his Father's name is very similar to what he prayed in John 17, 1 through 5, when he prayed about glorifying his Father, and also similar to what he taught us to pray. In Matthew 6, 9, it says, "In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." And the similarity is that we are to honor God's name. We're to hallow it, meaning to set it apart as special and holy. We're to glorify his name. We're created, as I've said before and many times, we were created to work for and live for God's glory. And so the ultimate aim of these prayers is the same. It's the hallowing, the honoring, the glorifying of God's name. And this is what Jesus meant when he was praying for himself, "Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you." Both the Son and the Father are God. So the duty of us and the duty of Jesus as a man while he was on earth was to glorify God. And as the Son of God, he was also to glorify himself. And we are to live for, to pray for the hallowing, the glorifying of the Father's name. And why is this? Well, one, because we are his children. We are his people. "Behold, what manner the Father of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God." The mere fact that we were created in his image is enough that we should desire to honor him and glorify him. But now we are redeemed and we are made the children of God. We're called to pray, Abba, Father. We're called to pray, hallowed be thy name, to our heavenly Father. In the Old Testament, you didn't see that. There was no praying to a heavenly Father. There were a few verses that referred to God as Father, but the people weren't taught to pray as children of God. But in the New Testament, we are called the children of God. And as the children of God, we are those who hallow our Father's name. We're to be kept, Jesus says, through the name of God. Well, how does that work? Well, we are his children. We are his family. Ephesians 3, 14 and 15 says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." We have a name that is a worthy name. And a name, you know, sometimes there's an outstanding family in a community. And they have been good people and they've done a lot of things for the community. And they raise up a son and that son is told, "You need to live up to your father's name. You need to respect that name." And in that sense, the name keeps that person, because that person doesn't do things that other children might do because of his father's name. He wants to keep it respectful. He wants to keep it honored. And here, when Jesus is praying, what a passage just to come up on Father's Day. You know, I've just been going through John, but this is where we happen to land. We are to live for our Father's name. And when we live through our Father's name, the Father keeps us through that name. He does it by putting those desires in us to honor that name. And when we do, we're kept from doing the things that would distort that name, that would dishonor that name. We don't do those things. And that, in that way, we're kept by the name. We are kept through the Father's name from the temptations of this world. That's why I read this passage earlier, 1 John 2:15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Love not the world, he says. That's John speaking in another book. And Jesus is praying, but these are in the world. They're still in the world. And that's why they need to be kept. They're kept from the world, from its lusts, from its desires, from its temptations, from all the things that the world puts in front of us and says, this is beautiful, this is good, this is what we need to applaud for. Jesus is saying, no, no, no. You praise God. You praise your Father. You get caught up in loving the Father and love not the world. And in that way, the Father's name keeps us because it keeps us from falling into those temptations. We're kept from the temptations, the traps, the love of things of an ungodly world by God's name, because by God's grace, as God's children, as his family, we as his people desire to honor his name. We desire to live as Christ lived for the things of God. Honoring God's name, loving the Father, and loving the world and its things are opposites. Kind of like when Jesus says you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot love God and the world. You have to make a decision on those things. And Jesus is praying to the Father, I pray that they will be kept by your name. It'll be important enough to honor you, to glorify you, that they will live in a certain way, that they will be kept, that they won't fall away. You know, Demas, you know, Paul says about Demas. Demas was one of Paul's companions. And you read it about Demas at the end of some of his letters. But then in one of the last letters when he wrote to Timothy, right before Paul would die, he says, Demas has left me, having loved this present world. Demas seemed to be a man of God, somebody who was serving God. But he loved this world more than he loved God. And so he wasn't one of those that Jesus prays for here that are kept. Jesus would keep us pure from the defilements of an ungodly world. I was glad to see a quote from Martin Lloyd-Jones, D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, on my daughter's Facebook page this week. Elizabeth had this quote. It says, the great concern of the New Testament epistles was not the size of the church, but the purity of the church. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones. And I can say it's not just the epistles, the letters Paul wrote and Peter wrote and even John wrote, but it's John's gospel, and it's here in Jesus' prayer. He was more concerned about our purity, that we would keep the name of the Father unsoiled and that we would be kept by that name, pure and holy, that's what he prays for. But as we go through John 17, He doesn't pray, oh, Father, I want this church to be so, so big. Doesn't mean he didn't want the church to grow, but that's not what we see in this prayer. He prays we would be kept from the evil one. Verse 14, he says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, and that's the way it is. If we are truly living for God, if we're seeking His glory, the world is going to hate us. And they're going to try to persecute us. John 15, we already did that, starting 15 verse 18. He talked about this, how we would be persecuted because, why? Because we're different. Why? Because we're like Christ. And a lot of times I think Christians here in America, we're not persecuted. Why? Because we do love the world. We still go with the world. We're still caught up in those things. But Jesus prayed that we would be kept by His name. And here He says that He's praying that they would be kept from the evil one. He says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Now the evil one is Satan. The evil one is the one who would tempt us away from the things of God. And as I said, Jesus does not pray that God would take us out of the world. And I think that partly means we should not take ourselves out of the world. You know, for a long time in the history of the church, there were monks. And what did the monks do? They took themselves out of the world. One of the most famous monks was Simon Stylite. Remember Simon Stylite? I've told you about him before. He built himself a pole. And he sat up on that pole, and he sat up on that pole for, I can't remember how long, many years, I think. One thing I do remember is that his mother wanted him to come down, or she would come up to him. But he had to stay holy. He couldn't even come down for his mother. And, you know, she brought him food and had it pulled up to the pole for him and stuff like that. But he wouldn't come down. I think even for her death. And it wasn't until after she died he came down. He would not come. He thought that was holy, to stay separate from everybody. And we're not holy by staying separate from people, even from non-Christians. We're still in the world, but we're not to be like them. We're to be different. And how do we do that? Well, Scripture tells us how. And we need to aim for God's glory. You know, I thought about that saying, what would Jesus do? Here we see, what does Jesus pray? And He prays that we would be kept by God's name. Kept from temptations, kept from the world, kept from Satan and his traps. Oh, how many ministers, how many pastors, how many elders fall into, you know, blatant sin. You know, we all sin, but when somebody falls into a blatant sin, it ruins the whole ministry. It takes it away from a church, from that person. And Jesus prays that we would not be taken by the evil one, that we would be kept from the evil one. Jesus prays we would be kept from the evil one, Satan, the devil, the ruler, the god of this age. The goal of the god of this age, Satan, is to blind men to God's name and His glory. Our goal is to keep shining the light of the gospel. It's interesting, in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 6, and this is talking about our gospel going out and some people not getting it at all. It says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind the god of this age have blinded. That's Satan. He blinds people. And it says, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 6. One of the reasons we're to be kept through God's name and kept close to God through His name is that we need to know Him, that we might be those lights. Here it talks about people in 2 Corinthians that are blinded to the light of God's glory, and they're blinded by Satan. And if we're true Christians, we're not blinded to that glory. But if we're true Christians that are somehow backsliding and in the world, we're not going to see God's glory in the same way, and we're not going to shine in the same way as if we were constantly beholding his glory. It's going to be somewhat diminished. Our light is going to be a little more dull. It's not going to be quite as bright. It's interesting. Jesus talks about this as well in Matthew 5, 13 through 15. He says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." Part of our being kept by the Father's name means we're to stay salty. We're to have that, you know, salt has a flavor to it. When you put it on something, and you expect, if you like salt at all, and I'm not a big salt eater, but if I do put salt on something, I expect to taste that flavor. Yet if I put it on some salt on something and it had no flavor, even with more salt, it still doesn't taste either. There's something wrong with me, or there's something wrong with the salt. And in Jesus' illustration, he's saying there can be something wrong with the salt. If we're not kept by the Father's name, if it's not glorious to us, if it's not our all in all, if we're starting losing it and we love the world more and more, we lose our saltiness, we lose our difference from the world, and we're not salt on it anymore. He says something similar when he says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Matthew 5:13-15. We are the light of the world. You know, Jesus in John 8:12 says, "I am the light of the world." But before that in Matthew, he said, "You are the light of the world." We are the salt, we are the light. But if we're not kept by the Father's name, we lose that saltiness. We lose that shining lightness that we are. And we become dull. We become less than we should. And so Jesus prays that we will be kept through the Father's name. The second prayer he prays is very similar. He prays for sanctification through his truthful word. Verse 17, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Sanctification happens when we are more and more influenced by the truth of God's word, the Bible, and less swayed by the lies of an ungodly world. The more we're in the Word, the more we're influenced by the Word, and the less we're influenced by the lies of the world. I think it's interesting, in English, the word "word" is almost the same as the word "world." Almost the same, only one letter difference. Word, the Word of God, the Holy Word of God, and then there's the world. And oftentimes, lies seem very similar to the truth. And I think, you know, I like to say that L in the word "world" stands for lies. And Jesus wants us to be in the Word and sanctified by the Word. Because when we look and we live in the world, and there's a sense we can't avoid it, it's always going to shine its lies at us and try to get us to believe those and think according to those. And all of that is the difference. And we need to be sanctified, set apart, made holy by God's word. Because the world is trying to win us over with its lies. The easy way sometimes to seem like we're ministering to the world is by embracing it and being just like it, going out into it and doing all the things the world does. And we make friends with the world that way. But then we lose our saltiness, we lose our light, we lose the truth. The goal is influencing and changing the world. We cannot change them by becoming like them. They need to become like us. We need to win them over to who we are And that's why we need to be sanctified, set apart for Christ and His purposes. We have Jesus' sanctification, His own sanctification as our example. It says, "And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth." And you might think, why would Jesus need to be sanctified? He's perfect, He's holy, He's sinless. Well, when He came to this world, He sanctified Himself. And I believe this is what it means that He did it. It means that He desired nothing from this world more or on top of His mission. It says in Matthew 8:20, Jesus is speaking. It says, "And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head.'" You know, performing all the miracles he did, he could have easily become rich and famous. "Look, you do this and build me a house. I'll keep feeding you 5,000s. Build me a castle." He could have easily done that. But he had nowhere to lay his head. He had a mission. He had no reason for a house in this world. Why? Because he was just passing through. He was on his way to a heavenly kingdom where he had a better house. This was not his home. And neither is it ours. When the disciples, and he did eat, but there was one time he didn't eat. It says, "Therefore the disciples," this is in this very Gospel of John, "said to one another, 'Has anyone brought him anything to eat?' And Jesus said to them, 'My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work.'" He had the single-mindedness. This is how he sanctified himself. He probably could have done some things and not be sinning doing them. But his mission, his goal, his life was to serve God and to do what he calls us all to do. Now, none of us are perfect like he is, but we're to be sanctified, meaning we're growing to that point. We are to be like Jesus, weaned from this world and the love of it because we have a different home. This is, again, quoting from Paul from Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 20. "Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Our citizenship is not in this world. This is, as I've said many times before, a hearse doesn't pull a U-Haul. We can't take any of the stuff we gain here with us. This world is not our home. It's a place we're passing through. Our citizenship is in heaven. And that's why Jesus prays that we would be sanctified, that we would be set apart for His service and His work and for what He'd have us to do. 30, prays for unity. He says, "I do not pray for these alone." And when he says that, he's talking about those who are right there with him at that time, the disciples, those that were already converted at the time he's praying. But he says also, "For those who believe in me through their word." And that's who we are. We're the ones who believe through the word of the apostles, which we have in the Gospel of John, as well as Matthew, Mark, Luke, other passages of Scripture, the writings of Paul, "that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." This is a prayer for those of us who believe through the apostles' words, meaning the same word that sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. We're to be one in that sanctification. Our oneness is first with those before us. We have a oneness with the people who were before us, meaning the apostles, the martyrs of the Reformation, all those people who were true to God before us. We are one with them, even though they're in heaven now and we're still on earth. They're in the church triumphant, we're in the church militant. We are one with them in the faith we have in Christ. And so he says, I do not pray for these alone, but those who believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, just as you, Father, and me, and I in you. We are in unity, not with, only with them, but with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our unity is with the triune God, that they may also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. That's where our gospel goes forth, when we are one with the triune God, and we have God on our side. Like Paul said, if God be for us, who can be against us? When he is one with us, we're on his side, we would see that glory going forward. Our unity is in God's love, verses 22 and 23. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I and them and you and me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. We would know that love of Christ when we are one with God, when we are one with each other. Now, this does not mean that we have to be ecumenical. Here's talking about being one in truth and one in what is right. Oftentimes, Christians will say, well, in order to be one, we need to be less staunch in our doctrine. We need to give up some of our beliefs. It's okay to believe that Christ isn't really God. It's not that big a deal. We believe Christ is God, but they don't. You know, this is what was going on when Arius was preaching. The whole world believed Christ was God. But Arius was such a nice guy. He was such a tall and good-looking guy. And he even sang songs. And they thought, well, it's really not such a heresy that he believes like he did. And so instead of throwing Arius out, they threw Athanasius out, and Athanasius had to fight. It was the world against Athanasius. And finally, Athanasius won that battle, and that's why we still believe in the Trinity, that Jesus is God, that he is holy, and we're one in that. We're not one in a lie. And that's part of that unity that we have. Fourth, he prays for us to be with him in heaven. Verses 24 through 26, the last part of this passage. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me be with me where I am. Part of this, I think, is about the cross. They'd have the same heart that I have at this moment. I'm ready to go to the cross to honor you, to glorify me, to you. Be with me where I am spiritually. I have this kind of heart. And we know Jesus always had the right heart. I want them to be with me in this way, that they'd have the same thing. Paul says this in Philippians 3. He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. In that, Paul was with him, with Jesus, where he was when he was praying this prayer. But I also think this is also saying, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you have loved me before the foundation of the world. He's also talking about with me where I am, anticipating not only his own death, but also his resurrection, his ascension to the Father, that he would be with God the Father as Christ the God-man for eternity. And he's praying we also would be with him in that. And so he's praying these two things, that we would be with him as far as he was spiritually, ready to even take up our own cross. He tells us that. Take up your cross daily. And he wants us to have that same heart. But he's also praying that we be able to behold his glory in heaven. That we would see that, that we would know that. We are to behold his glory both in the cross and in eternity. I think it's wonderful. 1 John 3 talks about this. It says, 1 John 3, 1 through 3, Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us. We're different than the world, because it did not know him. Beloved, now, that's what John's writing when he was still in this world, when he was one of the persecuted ones. He says, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. He knew there was a glory ahead. But we know that when he is revealed, meaning when Christ comes back, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself. And that's what Jesus was praying for, our sanctification, which is pretty much the same as purification. If we believe Jesus is praying for our sanctification, if he's praying for our being separate of the world, from the world, we also would want to purify ourselves. Purify himself just as he is pure. What's the level of purification? What's the standard? The standard is Christ. We'll not make that, not at least on earth. But that's the standard that we are to do. And that's what Jesus is praying for our being kept, meaning being kept from the world, being kept from Satan, being kept from sin, and for our sanctification, that we become more and more like Jesus, pure and holy. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, for your love that led you to send your Son into this world. And Father, because of our sin, we don't often see in the right way all your glory and all of your Son's glory. And because of that, we can get caught up in the things of this world to the point where your Scripture, where your Son, our Lord Jesus, where his beauty is not truly seen by us, and we're not seeing him, and so we're not becoming like him and glorifying him. We're falling short of that. And yet, Lord, Jesus prayed for these things. He prayed that we would be kept, that we would be kept from the world, that we'd be kept from the evil one, that we would be sanctified. And Father, these are the things he prayed right before he was dying, or would die for our sins, that we might be washed and cleansed by his blood. And Father, we thank you for these things. And Father, we pray that we might be, each one of us, answers to Jesus' prayers, that we would be kept from this world and from Satan, and that we would be brought one day to see his glory in heaven. And Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.